Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
My first introduction to cranberries as a kid was at Thanksgiving dinner, when a red, gelatinous mass of cranberry something was extruded from a tin can by Mom and neatly sliced into thin saucer-shaped discs and served as an obligatory side dish right next to the mystery relish. As a grown-up, I eventually discovered Ocean Spray craisins and packets of tasty, fresh-dried cranberries at Trader Joe's. But when I was offered the chance to fly to Wisconsin to experience the cranberry harvest up close and in person, including donning a pair of waders to descend into the cranberry bogs to lend a hand corralling cranberries, how could I resist? So here I am in the heartland of Wisconsin, in the midst of the Glacial Lakes District, with waders up to my chest, learning way more than I ever imagined possible about the bright, red, tangy, and tasty cranberry. The cranberry is Wisconsin's official state fruit, and I quickly discovered that Wisconsin is America's number one cranberry producer, supplying more than 60% of the annual harvest, producing $1 billion in economic impact and generating more than 5,000 jobs. I was fascinated to learn that Ocean Spray Cranberry is not a mega agribusiness, but a cooperative of family farmers. Even more eye-opening was discovering the cranberry's incredible array of health benefits, including heavyweight flavonoid antioxidants and bacteria-blocking anti-adhesion properties that work to alleviate urinary tract infections, ulcers, gum disease, and more. Come along and join me in the heart of Wisconsin, where we start our journey in the cranberry bogs with Mike Moss, third-generation owner of the family-run Elk Lake Cranberry Company, situated near Wisconsin Rapids.
We grow cranberries for Ocean Spray, 150 acres of cranberries on 1,600 acres of land.
And it's a family operation. It goes back multi-generations, doesn't it, Mike?
My wife and I got the farm from her mom and dad. My wife was the oldest of 11 kids, and her parents got it from his dad, or his parents.
Same place.
Yes.
Yeah. And so Grandpa, he's still involved in the operation a bit?
Grandpa's in a truck right now in Babcock. He should be showing up. I hope he shows up before everybody leaves. This is his 58th harvest.
Wow. So he's getting the hang of it now, then.
Yeah. This is only my 30th, so I'm the new guy here. Yeah. I really got to shape up. And my son, it's his first. He's grown up here, but then he went off and did his own business for 10 years. Now he just moved back to the farm.
Couldn't stay away? What was the draw?
I think so. He's expecting his fourth child now. I think that had an influence on. He had a good business writing software. Mm-hmm. He actually took a pretty big cut to come back to the farm, but I think because of lifestyle, there was too much stress. Hopefully on the farm we can keep him happy for 50 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you sell all your product?
100% with Ocean Spray. Ocean, yeah. Processed. We're not fresh. So they'll be frozen in a matter of a day or two.
But you hold some back for yourself, I'm sure.
A few. Yeah. You know, we've got to have cranberry pie. I'll get the juice from Ocean Spray, but the pie, that's coming from my wife. So I better keep a few in the freezer.
What's the most rewarding part of your world of cranberries? What do you
think? That is a good question. Yeah. I like working outside, and I like working with the same people, and I like seeing how things have changed over the 30 years. If you work for a factory, it's piecework, and it's something different every year. For me, I like the heritage part, and I like the resource part of it, you know, working with nature, and we manage timber. I like that part of it, too. Here comes Grandpa.
All right. Very cool.
Just in time.
Mm-hmm. You're located truly in the heart of Wisconsin, aren't you?
We're on the north end of Cranmore. Some of our beds are in Seneca, but these right now, we're in the very north end of Cranmore, which is all cranberries.
Mike, thank you so much. What a pleasure to visit with you.
Thank you for coming, and I hope you got what you wanted today. Oh, yeah. I enjoy talking to people about cranberries. It makes it worthwhile.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Tom Lochner, the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association, shares his insights and passion for the incredible little red cranberry. Tell us about what the Cranberry Growers Association does.
The Wisconsin Association was formed in 1887 by growers in central Wisconsin.
Give us a primary and a coolest educational advocacy for the
consumer, for the public?
On the education side of things, one of the things we did was to establish a cranberry museum, a Wisconsin Cranberry Discovery Center in the Warrens area. We try to think of things that are educational to talk to people about cranberries and their importance to Wisconsin.
What is the importance?
We're the state's largest fruit crop by far. Wisconsin is the leading producer of cranberries and will produce over 60% of the U.S. crop this year. Last year we did about 67% of the crop, so we're the leading producer and by far the state's largest fruit crop. Recent study on economic impact, actually done by UC Davis, projected that we're just under $1 billion in impact here. Wow. In Wisconsin, and probably about 5,000 jobs or so. So it's an important industry here in central Wisconsin, where most of the economic activity takes place.
One of the most fascinating things I've learned today is the fact that, as far as I know, almost all the growers are mom, pa, their family. Mm-hmm. It's not corporate agribusiness.
Right. Yeah, we're largely family farms, multi-generational. We've got growers that, in some cases, are sixth generation, maybe even the seventh generation.
Do you think that the reason why is because it's not an attractive bait for agribusiness, because it is a real hands-on, smaller-scale operation as a crop, isn't it?
The thing about cranberry growing is it's a unique form of agriculture, and it's a lot different than growing any other crop.
And let's talk about what is the state in the industry and where is it going.
We've got a real good story to tell, I think, on sustainability, and we've been working again with UW-Madison. We work with the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Agriculture, and our growers, for example, were the first crop that the UW worked with on integrated pest management, and we have 100% adoption by growers.
So these are beneficial insects you might introduce?
Yeah, marshes are scouted every week for pests, and they monitor the populations both in terms of the size and in terms of the cycle in the population, and they make only control when they need it. We've reduced our pesticide use dramatically. We've also shifted over from traditional, more harsher chemicals, broad spectrum, to more selective. We've done a lot of bio. We've found that in the spring we can flood the beds. One of the things it does is kills the first generation of one of the insects we have. So we're very sustainable that way. Our nutrient management programs, we're at about 70% adoption now on that. Under that program, growers are just getting enough nutrients out to the plant when it needs it so it can use it, so we don't waste any. We've spent a great deal of resources on looking at the irrigation systems and water use, tracking soil moisture, tracking temperatures, finding out how much the plant can tolerate, and then getting that information out to the growers so they can implement those practices. So overall, I think if the Institute for Sustainable Ag at UW gives us very high marks for sustainability, and it shows because these growers have been in business. This marsh here was established in 1901, and it's still operating and still functioning very well.
Very interesting. Let's talk for a moment about the really essential health benefits of the cranberry.
Yeah, the cranberry, it's an interesting fruit. It's one of the original superfruits. It's very high in polyphenols and antioxidants. It's very nutrient-dense in that respect.
Can you talk about the polyphenols?
I'm not a health expert, but as I understand it, cranberries have a lot of very good compounds in them. One of the compounds that's in there that's unique to cranberry is a proanthocyanin. They call them PAX, and it's a certain type of proanthocyanin. But essentially, what it does is it prevents bacteria from adhering to tissue. So the urinary tract benefit is not from the acidity and the juice flushing, but it's actually something in the cranberry juice that prevents bacteria from adhering to the stomach and to the intestine. That also has benefits elsewhere, and we're looking at that it may have some benefit in preventing E. coli and other types of things. And in a period when we're looking at a lot of antibiotic-resistant bacteria and things like that.
Isn't that amazing? Just a simple food item.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because the Native Americans originally harvested cranberries from the wild, and they used them to make poultices as medicine to prevent infections and injuries that they may have. So maybe we're coming around to their line of thinking a little bit more.
Yeah. Do you mind talking about Ocean Spray for a moment? Now, that's an association, right? It's like a cooperative?
Yeah, Ocean Spray is a grower-owned cooperative. Mm-hmm. Growers formed Ocean Spray and created the Ocean Spray brand to market their fruit. And I think Ocean Spray has been probably one of the more successful ag marketing co-ops. What they've done over time is they have developed new products, developed marketing programs, and they've also helped the growers deliver a better crop as well.
How does that work?
They support a lot of research. They support a lot of field work. And they're always looking for ways to improve not only the growing practices, so when the fruit is on the marsh, but also moving it from the marsh to the market. And their food safety programs lead the food industry. They've done a very good job, and they work very hard on behalf for their members, and their members benefit from it.
For the listener, tell us what the motors and the sounds and the cacophony in the background is all of.
That last noise was a truck that's got a load of fruit on it, and that'll be going to the receiving station in Babcock. They'll dump that fruit, and it'll be cleaned and put into bins and then end up in a freezer probably by the end of the day today.
So time is of the essence?
Yeah, all this fruit will be used for processed product, so they don't have to be as concerned about bruising as they do with fresh fruit, so they will get it because it's going to be frozen fairly quickly and they want to move it. So the noise in the background are those trucks. There's also harvesting equipment, what we call a berry pump here in Wisconsin, which pumps the berries literally with water out of the beds after they've been harvested, and then it separates the leaves and the chaff and water, and the chaff goes into one truck and the good fruit goes into the other that'll go off to the packing plant.
Anything else you want to add? You know all the secrets.
I don't know if I know all the secrets, but I've been working with the growers for 25 years, mm-hmm. and I learn something new just about every day, and I think that's what makes the job exciting. And we've got a good group of progressive growers here in Wisconsin that are trying to be environmentally sustainable, but more importantly, economically sustainable as well. So we're real proud of our growers, and we're just happy to be out here. I mean, you get out here on a day like today, and it beats being in the office, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does. Tom, thank you. What a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure, too. Thanks for coming out.
For further information, if somebody wanted to find out more.
You can go to our website. It's at wiscran.org, wiscran.org. And there's all kinds of information on there and links to other cranberry websites as well.
Excellent. Thanks again, Tom.
You bet.
Phil Brown and his wife and kids operate Glacial Lake Cranberries. In addition to raising and harvesting berries, the family runs a gift shop, interpretive center, and leads farm tours for the public aboard their 24-passenger berry bus.
We're here at Glacial Lake Cranberries in central Wisconsin. We're approximately 15 miles west of Wisconsin Rapids in Wood County, Wisconsin. Wood County produces more cranberries than anywhere in the world.
Right now, this is a busy time. You've got pumps running and you're flooding the fields. Tell us what's going on.
Well, cranberries grow in a very dry, sandy, well-drained soil. During the harvest time, that's when we flood the fields and go into the beds, separate the fruit from the vine. We then bring the cranberries to the surface of the water, and we bring them down to one end so we can pick them up and haul them to our receiving station, where the fruit is further cleaned before we can deliver it to a processing plant like Ocean Spray or Mariani here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Tell us about some of the positive attributes of cranberries. We're all told about drinking cranberry juice, kidney problems, for example.
Cranberries are very high in vitamin C, very good for urinary tract infections, and it also has some anti-adhesion qualities that also make good for gum disease and even some heart ailments.
And I heard something about antioxidant cancer mm-hmm. prevention.
The one thing that we have been doing a lot of is trying to come up with some new products that utilize those health benefits of the cranberry. We've had juice and sauce and the sweetened dried cranberry, or the craisin, as Ocean Spray markets it. But now we're looking at utilizing some of the other positive attributes of the cranberry in various pharmaceutical products.
So on one level, you're a commercial grower, you're producing in mass, it gets shipped out and goes mm-hmm. around the world. But then you also have your own little visitor center and a retail operation. So what could somebody find here?
A lot of people are very interested in coming to visit a cranberry marsh. Here in the upper Midwest, Wisconsin produces over 60% of the nation's crop.
It's primarily the soil characteristics more so than anything else that makes Wisconsin the premier place.
Yeah, because our cranberries grow in a very marshy area, very high water table, and we are able to produce cranberries in an abundant supply because of the environment that they're grown in. Mm-hmm. When the visitor comes to Glacial Lake Cranberries, we give them a little bit of history. We show them a quick video about what goes on a cranberry marsh on a year-round basis. And then we hop aboard our 24-passenger berry bus and actually bring the visitor right down next to the cranberry beds where the fruit is being harvested. Mm-hmm. It's really an incredible experience. We've been doing this now for 16 years. Every year, we seem to get more and more people from not only around the United States, but also around the world. It's really quite amazing.
It really is a unique experience. Other than Wisconsin, it would be Massachusetts?
Cranberries are grown in five states. We have cranberries growing in Massachusetts and New Jersey on the East Coast, Oregon and Washington on the West Coast, and here in Wisconsin, we produce over 60% of the nation's crop. Cranberries are also produced up in British Columbia and also in eastern Quebec and the Maritime provinces of Canada. So it's primarily a North American product.
So you would not find it growing naturally in Europe anywhere?
Not necessarily. Not in abundance like we have it here in the United States. 30% of the cranberries we grow here in the United States and Canada are actually enjoyed overseas. In the UK, France, Germany, the Scandinavian countries.
Living in the cranberry world, what's your favorite type of cranberry that you enjoy?
Well, one of the things that we share with our visitors at the visitor center, we always like to dip the fresh cranberry in caramel sauce. Everybody loves a caramel apple. And when we can dip fresh cranberry into caramel, it's better than a caramel apple. They're very, very tasty.
So this is not a corporate entity. This is a family farm.
This is a family farm, mm-hmm. Correct. All the marshes are family owned and operated. Every marsh has a contract either with Ocean Spray or Mariani or one of the other buyers. Mm-hmm. Which is very important.
So Ocean Spray is not a grower per se. They contract all their growing.
Exactly, and it's a grower-owned cooperative. All the Ocean Spray members actually own a piece of the company.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, very unique cooperative arrangement.
So that's pretty impressive in corporate America to have it go up the food chain.
Yeah, it really is. Ocean Spray has been around now for over 80 years, and when you think of cranberries, you think of Ocean Spray. And those two guys in the commercial that are very effective in selling cranberry products.
Somebody was saying that the advent of that commercial of Ocean Spray did more than anything to propel the industry.
Well, it really did. Ever since we started doing these tours in 1999, when we saw those commercials come online, basically the interest in our cranberry tours increased. Everybody wants to walk into the cranberry beds like the two guys in the Ocean Spray commercials. It's a very effective ad campaign.
Now, you heard from a lady that wants to come out and swim with the cranberries.
Yes, we have a lot of requests, and there's a lady that wanted to come out and swim in the cranberry beds, and we are more than willing to let her swim with the cranberries. She hasn't showed up yet, and here we are in mid-October, and it is getting a little chilly here in cranberry country.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me enough to jump in today. So this is fourth generation within your family that you married into, right?
Yeah, the Marsh was originally founded in 1873, so this is our 141st year of producing commercially grown cranberries. My wife's grandfather got involved in the business in 1923, so Mary would be a third generation grower, and our son Stephen and daughter Allison would be fourth generation. Some neighbors are actually fifth, sixth, and even seventh generations.
Wow.
The Marshes have been in their families since the 1870s and 1880s.
Oh, amazing. And the pump in the background right now, it's transferring water from your holding pond to flooding one of the
bogs? Probably the number one job of a cranberry grower is water management. We store huge amounts of water in our reservoir system, and when we need the water to flood the fields, we can move it from a holding pond into a flooding ditch, and then from the flooding ditch into the beds through some aluminum culverts. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're looking at water rushing into a bed and filling up the bed to float the berries to one side of the bed so we can pick them up and take them to our receiving station.
So in the process of full maturation of the berry from that moment until harvest, how long is that?
Well, our season begins in April when the ice and snow melt from the marsh. And during the months of May, June, July, August, and September, with plenty of nutrition and plenty of water and a lot of tender, loving care, Our cranberries are usually ready for harvest by late September and through the month of October. Basically, cool. April through October is our growing season.
Okay, so now we're latter October, almost Halloween, mm-hmm. and you're flooding and floating. How long does that process take?
We'll be harvesting approximately 310 acres this year. That will take us about 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we began harvest that last week of September, and we should be done by the end of October.
Right now, looking in front of us, we see acres of cranberries floating on a lake, basically.
Yeah.
And so you're going to skim and harvest, mm-hmm. and then after that is collected, would you then immediately drain that bog?
Yeah, the cranberry vines are a perennial plant. We have some cranberry vines that were planted in the 40s, some in the 50s, wow. some in the 60s, and so on. Our most recently renovated bed goes back to 2013. Once the bed is flooded and the fruit is harvested, we have to drain the water as quickly as possible. These are living, breathing plants.
They need their oxygen.
That need oxygen to breathe.
So is there an ultimate lifespan expectancy for a cranberry plant?
Do they? Well, a cranberry bed, that's a very good question, because apple trees and vineyard grapes mm-hmm. have a certain life. Basically, a good, healthy cranberry bed will last for at least 40, 50, 60 years or more.
And that's because it re-roots itself, and so you get some new fresh growth?
Yep. Every year, the cranberry is actually produced on an upright that is only a year or two old. Mm-hmm. The rootstock might go back to the 1940s or 1950s, but basically the fruit is produced on uprights that are only a year or two old.
Would there be a metaphor for a strawberry in that would send out?
I sometimes compare the low crawling cranberry vine to the low crawling strawberry vine as well. It's very similar.
They share that same.
They share that. And most people can relate to the growing of a strawberry. Mm-hmm. It's similar.
Very, very good. What are you most proud of in your life that you found yourself with cranberries?
Well, one of the things is with our family and the next generation taking an interest in the operation, I think is very interesting. We're very proud to be able to hopefully pass it on to the next generation.
Wisconsin native Susan DeRoshi shares her lifelong passion for cranberries, beginning when she was a child.
Tell us about your life growing up, Wisconsin girl, with cranberries.
I remember from the time I was about 2 years old, my mother would give me cranberry juice pretty much every day, every other day. And then at Thanksgiving, I remember getting together with all the relatives, and my mother would be slaving in the kitchen, making the cranberry sauce, making the cranberry nut bread. It's just a wonderful occasion together.
Cranberries really were and are a part of your life, not just at Thanksgiving or Christmas, but all around the year, right?
They really are. I make cranberry muffins other times of the year. I have cranberries in my oatmeal when it comes to fall and winter. Mm-hmm. I just find ways with cranberry nut bars and ways to keep up my energy when I'm working. It's just so important to have it in my life, and I know it's good for me.
Mm-hmm. And you're not a lone wolf in the cranberry world in Wisconsin. You have many friends and people across the state that do the same thing and have done that you do, right?
That's right. This is, you know, part of our upbringing. This is part of our family life, and we make cranberries, put them into scones now. We're trying to find new ways. We make cranberry relishes, and salsas are really popular. So.
We're dreaming about ice cream today.
Yes, we had some cranberry ice cream to celebrate my boss's 25th anniversary with the company, and it was just really a special thing to do.
After harvest and after they're no longer fresh cranberries, people freeze them, right?
Absolutely. They can freeze them. They can keep them for months and then look for all the good recipes that they want to put them into, mm-hmm. whatever they like, what their families like. Maybe they have special occasions coming up. They want to make something unique, and it's a colorful, fun food to work with.
Susan DeRoshi with Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to talk.
My pleasure.
Amy Scheid, owner of Great Expectations Catering in Wisconsin Rapids, talks about sustainable food sourcing and, of course, Wisconsin cheeses, and specifically how she uses cranberries as an integral ingredient in her cuisine throughout the year.
It's one thing to have great expectations, but it's another thing to have follow-through and deliverance, and you guys have it.
We enjoy what we do. We get to do what we love every day.
Tell us about the philosophy and the passion and mission behind Great Expectations, because it's not just a catering company. It's much more than that.
We love to theme a menu to a particular genre of food. It's very important to us to use local sustainable products, so we work with growers, producers of all types. We like to feature local cheeses and local products whenever we can.
So that's real primary to your mission.
Absolutely. Of great importance to the sustainability of our industry and to the sustainability of the farming industry.
Well, here we are in the heart of Wisconsin, which is the heart of the farming and ranching in America in many respects. I mean, talk about cheese.
Yes, it's one of those great products that allows us to offer sustainable foods 12 months out of the year. We offer a variety of different creameries, 17 total on our menu, from our butter and cream products right through cheeses, and pair them with great products like the cranberry whenever we can.
That's where I wanted to go. As you know, this is my mission, is in pursuit of the cranberry in Wisconsin. Tell us about how you manifest the cranberry into your cuisine.
It's a beautiful fruit to work with. We feature it, of course, in desserts, but really in primary sauces and proteins as well. We do a variety of demi-glazes, dressings, rubs, barbecues, all featuring that beautiful fruit and incorporate it into proteins, starches, and vegetables whenever we can.
Tell us about some of the health benefits of cranberries. They really are good for you.
That is definitely true, and we can have this conversation in another 50 years because all the cranberries I eat, I'm going to live that long. We see the just amazing benefits from the immediate when you're not feeling well and just need that extra burst to long-lasting benefits as well.
In addition to fresh cranberries, that's a real short seasonal product, isn't it?
It is. They can be frozen, however, so we do feature fresh cranberries throughout the year. Also, the sweetened dried products just do an amazing job of being able to be versatile, used on salads and desserts and a variety of different uses in our jams and jellies as well.
If somebody wanted to learn more about you guys and Great Expectations,
you can search on Great Expectations and I look for our logo, which is a chafing dish with the name Great Expectations. We also have many pictures from our farm dinners. We have our full menu out there, which changes by season as well, and a list of the manufactured products that we're selling at this time.
So you have some mail order.
We do. That's a new endeavor for Great Expectations.
And what would be some of the coolest things that are going out the door?
Well, definitely the cranberry vinaigrette dressing and the cranberry barbecue. This year we have a new item in our jams and jellies line, which is a carrot cake jam that features the cranberry very prominently as well.
I heard about that.
It's very good baked on a soft cheese or spread on cream cheese or just right on your bagel in the morning.
Thanks again. What a pleasure to visit with you.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the heartland of the world of cranberries in the Glacial Lakes District in the midst of the state of Wisconsin.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was awarded the 2014 EcoTour Operator of the Year by the Hawaiian Ecotourism Association. To learn more, visit legacytrees.org or call 1-877-707-TREE.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning, and Lauren Hayes is our technical assistant. Call you.